Luke chapter 15, Luke chapter 15. We're not in Philippians as we normally would be. There's occasions that I'll preach a topical sermon. Today I go to one of my favorite passages in all the Word of God. Luke chapter 15 is a fantastic chapter in the Bible that you should know, you should be familiar with, and I want you to love. It is a chapter of parables, the parable of the lost sheep, parable of the lost coin, and the parable of the lost son. And for Father's Day, you ask, why would I have this particular story? Remember, the word parable is a story alongside other revealed truth. I tell you this to say, you will never have new truth revealed in a parable. Parables are to come alongside parallel lines, is to come alongside other truth to illustrate. Jesus is the great storyteller. Jesus is the great illustrator, and he uses this story, and there's so much truth in it that by God's grace, we're going to cover as much truth as he wants us to today. So it is, but it's just a wonderful story. Let's read this story. But here's the key. I want you to do this. There are three main characters in this story. There's this son that has a rebellious heart, and he's open about his rebellion. He doesn't care who knows. And at the beginning of the story, you'll see he asks his father, "Give me what's mine." In essence, he's telling his father, "I wish you were dead. I want my inheritance now." He takes it, and he goes and he spends it in evil, wicked living. That's one son. And then there's the father, and that's going to be the emphasis of our message this morning. And the father in this story, I believe, does picture God the Father, and I want to learn from that. My prayer is that none of us would deal with the sons in this instance, but the reality is, if you're honest with your own heart, as you parent, you're going to want to know, how do I treat, how do I handle rebellious children? And there's no greater instruction than the Word of God, and this story is amazing. I want to learn from it. I want to be a better dad. I want to be a dad like this father in this story. And then there's a third character. It's the oldest son. Did everything right. Yes, sir. Always obeyed dad. Dad said jump, he said how high. But it was external, it wasn't in the heart. So when the father reconciles with the rebellious son is brought to the end of himself. The rebellious son turns from his evil ways and humbles himself to the father. And the father embraces him. And the father treats him as though nothing ever happened. Oh, and that's exactly, if you're saved today, exactly what God has done for you. When God saved you, he treats you like you're perfect. It's embarrassing, but it's wonderful, isn't it? He loves me as though... I'm like, are you looking at somebody else? And he loves me. And so the father reconciles with this son, and he's just... so excited, rightfully so, but the older son, bitter. Neither one of them were saved. Were born again, were right with God. But the one, you'd never know it. And so this story is a story of reconciliation with the Father. The wicked son is reconciled. It's just a story. Jesus didn't tell us the rest of the story, and Paul Harvey didn't either. But there's no evidence that the elder son ever got right. He died in his bitterness because he was operating in his goodness. And that'll never make you right with God. Let's read this great story. Luke chapter 15, verse 11. Luke chapter 15, verse 11. I think you're going to love it. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain, or he would gladly, that's what that means, he would gladly have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Verse 17. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and blessed and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now the elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. Verse 28. And he, the older brother, was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him, asked him. And he answered, said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he, the father, said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Before I jump into the father in ways that we can respond to children that aren't doing what's right, children that are living in sin, I want to just talk briefly about these two sons. And you know, There's this misunderstanding within Christianity. I don't know if some of you are sitting out in the audience, and if you were to ask this question in your own heart, are you going to heaven when you die? Maybe nearly everybody that goes to church would say, yes, I am. And if you go to a Baptist church for any extended time, then you'll learn the right answer. Well, it's not because I'm good. It's because of Jesus. Well, I want you to understand this, that faith in Christ is simple. Just believe. But the result is radical. You see, I think many people are falsely believing they're going to heaven because I did that. Yes, I said that. I said that prayer. Yeah, I asked Jesus to save me. And it's really not any more complicated than it's with the heart that you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and in his death, in his burial, and in his resurrection, that Jesus alone accomplished all that was necessary to satisfy the justice of God. That Jesus took your punishment, he died, and he rose again. Your faith, your belief that Jesus is God and that Jesus is the only hope for you, that'll save you. But I think we treat it like when a doctor says, this procedure will be simple. And what we mean by that, or we hope the doctor means, you know, we hope he's not like the dentist that says, this will sting a little. And you're like, ah! You know, you're like, ah! You know, you want to just cry. You're like, okay, fine. All dentists lie. And I, you know, I mean, but I guess this won't work. This is going to kill you as though I'm ripping your tonsils out. You know, I guess you don't go telling people, but when they say this will sting a little, it's like, you liar. And anyway, but I digress. But when they say it's just a simple procedure, that's how people view salvation. Quick and easy. And then I go on with my own life. I'm going to tell you, if the only confidence you have this morning that you have a home in heaven is that you said some prayer, or that you would say, I believe in Jesus, and there's no change in your life, there's no radical change in your life, I will tell you, I have great concern for your soul. I can't look into your heart, but I can look at the tree, and the Bible says, by their fruits you shall know them. I want to tell you, salvation is simple. Jesus took care of it all. But I'll tell you, the results are radical. It may be simple, but the outcome is dramatic. You see, I fear that in our churches today that there's many elder sons that as long as everything goes okay, I'm happy with God. But then something doesn't go your way and bitterness comes outside that was already within. I'll tell you what we have to be really challenging. So are you born again? Doesn't mean you won't have battles with your spirit and your attitude, but the direction of your life, there was a dramatic change. I was going this way. I was following the world. I was pursuing life selfishly for me. And when Jesus saved me, I turned from my sin. I put my faith in Him. Everything changed. Lost people don't like going to church. I hate to say this. There's a lot of saved people that don't like go to church, but I wonder if they're truly saved. Because I'm telling you, saved people like to go to church. Saved people, oh, they want to tell people about Jesus. And I know it's overwhelming, the fear and of rejection, but saved people, your life changes. Imperfectly so, but we tell people about a perfect Savior. All of us are going to experience this, I pray not, but we're going to experience this, whether it's with our own children, but we're going to experience rebellion. As a pastor, this message is critical for me. I feel like all of your parents. I feel like you are all my children. I don't know if I've ever asked other pastors this. Do you feel like they're all your kids? And when you mess up, I take responsibility for it because there is an influence I have on you, and I need to cleanse this heart and be made right with God, or I will hurt you. And there's going to be people in a crowd this size that are going to rebel. Maybe there are some here, you're in direct rebellion now. Maybe nobody knows about it because it's right here, and you think you can hide it. You can't hide it from God. But then maybe there are some, you're just living life and you're pursuing sin, and right now you're enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season, and you're not really bit with the consequences yet, because I'm telling you, you know why people sin? Because they like it. But it does bite later. And many people keep sinning sometimes because they're in bondage and they can't get out. So parents, Christians, how do we respond to people that don't love God? Well, there's three things, and I'll try to get through them quickly this morning. I just want to show you this from this passage. It's clearly love. I want you to see this morning. Look at when the Son humbles Himself before the Father. There's great humility that's involved when being made right with God. But look at this in verse 20. And he, the Son, arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Now there's three different places I want to tell you. How do we clearly love people? How do we clearly love our children, whether they do what's right or do what's wrong? There's three phases I want to tell you that we can love our children, we can love people, and we ought to have these in the forefront of our mind. So you want to love people the Bible way? You want to love people the right way? Here's the first thing. Love them by teaching them the truth before they rebel. I'm telling you, you don't have to assume that teenagers will rebel. I really believe this. If our teenagers are saved, I believe they can escape rebellion in their teen years. I'm telling you, I'm still trying to escape rebellion in my 50s. But I think by God's grace, we don't have to go into the muck and the mire and the rebellion. You've heard me say this before. One of the statements I hate the most is, well, they've got to sow their wild oats. Well, they're going to reap them. I believe this, teenagers, you can do what's right. And when you mess up, get back up and repent and make it right. Don't wallow in the mud. God will forgive you and he'll embrace you and he'll love you. So I want to tell you, there's three phases. One, let's clearly love them. Teach them. Teach them what is right. And I want every single person in this room to know this. When I'm right with God, I will love you no matter what. I'm not just going to love you if you do what's right. One of the most overwhelming things as a pastor is when I deal with my own sin, but when I see people I love, they fall into sin, and usually I find out about it many times because the consequences are overwhelming. I want you to know this. You will be loved here. If we are right with God, we will love you. I want you to flee to the Savior, and you flee to our church. And if we're right and we're thinking right, we will love you. You're not going to be ostracized. You're not going to be rejected. I want to tell you this. We're not condoning your sin. I'm not here to say, it's okay, Nolan. I'm here to tell you this. I love you. I love you with all my heart. I want to help you. I want to help you as much as I can. And I will. Don't you listen to the devil that says, oh man, I'll just be rejected. That's the voices that rebellious people hear. It's why they never come back to church. It's why they never call their Christian friend. It's because they're afraid of rejection. I'll tell you, Christian, when we are right with God, we will love people in and out of their sin. We don't have to condone it, but we will absolutely love them, and we're going to see how to love them in just a second. Love them before rebellion. Parents, many times they get a wake-up call when the kids are rebelling. I want to tell all these, you know, Katie, starts now. You know, it's like, we're going to read the Bible tonight. You know, I tell you this, I believe this with all my heart. You know, most babies cry when they hear me? Well, of course. But the babies that sit under my preaching, it's not like they're, you know, theologically sound, but they hear my voice, and my voice doesn't scare them. It's crazy. Every other baby that doesn't sit under my preaching, they're like, oh, this guy, you know. But the babies that, they're hearing things. You honor God. It starts now. Parents, time to start devotions isn't after your kids rebel. I know you're tired at night. I know you got to get on social media because that's more important than devotions with your kids. I know you got to watch your television show because that's more important than your kids. Chuck the TV if you have to. Whatever it is that's getting in your way for you to be the leader and the guide and the teacher of your kids, get rid of it if you have to. I didn't say social media is wrong, but if it's getting in the way of you doing what you need to do as a parent and teach your kids, teach them about God. You have a rebellious kid, say, and they live in your house, get together, guys. We're having devotions. And I know you're going to have some kids. Don't even go there because I tried. You know, you're going to look right. Nah, get over it and just say, you're going to sit there at least and be nice. You know what love is? Kindness. You know that needs to be my middle name. But it's not because it's not who I am yet. If you want to know what love is, be nice. You know the last thing people that are in sin need is for you to kick them in the teeth? I can tell people that are in sin about their sin and they'll receive it because I try to do it the Bible way and just tell them this. Well, God's law is this and your sin will only hurt you. I'm only telling you this because I love you. Parents, teach your kids before the rebellion. I will tell you, during the rebellion, your kids can get to a certain point. This is tough. Let them go. If your kids won't obey in your household, and they won't do what's right, let them go. Not with hatred, not with meanness, with a broken heart, because You have to have a home that is honorable to God. And if your kids won't submit when they get old enough, you don't hate them, you tell them this: I want you to stay. I want you to be here. But here are some things you're going to do if you're here. You're going to go to church. You're going to have devotions with me every night. We're going to pray together. You can hate my God, but you're going to do these things if you live in my house. And this is the worst thing in the world, is to let him go. The father let the rebellious son go. Well, there's nothing more painful. Remember I said love them, and love is kindness. Remember this? Don't you ever get, you know, think, well, now, when does kicking them in the rear end, you know? I don't know if we have to kick them in the rear end, because I like it too much. But it is, I need to be nice. Best thing I can do for anybody is this book right here. Before, teach them. It gets to the point, you got to let them go. And then after the rebellion, look at this. It says in verse 20 that Jesus had compassion, or the Father. I'm viewing this as Jesus, okay? That he had compassion. Do you know what compassion is? Compassion, I love this word, it's moved within. I'm not going to rehearse the story. There was my son, my kids are wonderful kids. Do they do everything I want them to do? No. Some of the things they do, get up my left nostril? Yes. I let it go too far. I've told you this before. This is sin. This is sin. I became bitter with my son, and I shouldn't have. Where I didn't have compassion on my son. I wasn't moved anymore for my son. I lost the ability to be moved by God for my son. I became hardened. You'd mentioned his name, I was in a bad mood. I would think about him, I was in a bad mood. Let me tell you, that was wrong. And my son hasn't done what I've seen other kids do. All I reflected was that I was a baby Christian, without maturity, without the love of Christ. I here's what I worried about, and I just want to tell you, don't worry about this. I was worried that I would condone his sin. My son never ever thought I was condoning his sin. But I didn't love him the way I should. Don't ever get so hardened that you can't be moved with love for your kids, for your neighbors, for your parents. God ripped it out of my heart, and it's one of the greatest blessings of my life. I will tell you, I'll go to my grave, and I'll never forget the day that God ripped the rebellion out of my heart. Overwhelming. I am not a crier. It was the day my son got married, and I am bawling the entire day. God was good to me. And I never want to get over that day, because I'll tell you this, I was in sin, and I was wrong, and we ought to always have compassion. Always have compassion. Never get so hardened that you can't be moved with love, moved with kindness, moved with warmth toward those that God's brought in your life. Never let it happen. I know what it's like, and it is horrendous. It went on for 6 years in my life. I'm embarrassed about it, but I'll go to my grave, and I will warn people that it'll only destroy you. When I see this father that had compassion, I wish I'd just focused on this verse for those six years. He had compassion and it turned into action. You see, true compassion is different than pity. Compassion leads to action. He had compassion. He was looking for his son. So let me just give you these 3 points and then I'll preach them in a way that we can just go through it. Clearly love, constantly look, and celebrate life. He was looking for his son. You see this? If you let them go, it's not let them go and forget about them. It's let them go and give them over to the Lord and on your knees every day. Oh, God. I know some of you ache for your loved ones, for your sons, for your daughters, for your loved ones, and you just pour your heart out to God. Oh, God. I can't change them. But I want you to be looking. I want you to just have compassion. And I want you to be ready to run. Isn't that an amazing God? I'm just telling you, God gets better every day. I realize how bad I am. He's just an amazing God in that He had compassion on me that led to action. He did all and He ran, and then it gets a little gooey. Gets a little physical touch, right? But He falls on His neck and He kisses Him. Clearly, I'm not the father in this story, right? Some of you don't know, I'm not Mr. Physical Touch. And but I love seeing God that way, don't you? Do you see God that way, or do you see Him as some austere, hateful, mean? That's not the God of the Bible. No, God is a God of justice, and He cannot ignore sin. So I'm not suggesting that this wonderful God that is everything that you need. He is more than I could express, but He is fully just. But many people view God as a hateful, mean-spirited, vindictive God that just can't wait to strike you down. That's not the God of the Bible. God's amazing. Parents, when I tell you to clearly love, it is... I don't know who I'm even preaching to today. I'm probably preaching to myself, because God use that in my own life with my son. But you know this, I promise you this. I want you to call me on the carpet. If you feel like I am treating you differently because you've done something wrong, then you call me on it, because I believe that's sin. I am never going to approve of sin. I don't want to approve of my own sin. I don't want to approve of yours. But I'll tell you this, I want to love you, Clay. As long as I'm in your life, as long as you love me in your life, and I don't ever want to have to deal with your rebellion, but I'll tell you this, if there's a day, I want you to know you can come to me. Deanna, you can come to me, you know, and come to Deb, and we'll love you. I'm not better than you. I love looking in the eyes of naive parents. It's so exciting. God's so good. Parenting is amazing. It's awesome. You can glorify God even with a prodigal son. Don't let it make you bitter. Always have compassion. That's one of your strengths, both of you. When I think of the Barr family, don't let, just when things don't turn out the way you want, don't let bitterness come in. Stay tender. Have compassion that leads to action. I want you to always look. See, parents, I want you to always have that hope. I can see in this story, because this is what God does, Steve. And I'll just tell you this. Don't you dare do this, because this will get on my nerves. Don't you dare take God's omniscience and take something away from God. Do you know this? God knows all things. That's what omniscience is. But I'll tell you this. When Steve is in sin, God's looking for me. You think His omniscience gets in His way of His look, His care, His longing, His desire, and His love for me? It doesn't. And so I'll tell you this, this is what I want us to be as a church. I wish I could say, hey, we're all going to do what's right. You and I sin every day. I want us to be a church that we look and we want to help you. I don't know what your state is, who's in what state today. I want to know this. If you repent of your sins and you humble yourselves to God, He will save your soul. It doesn't matter what you've done. He will forgive your sins, and then He does the changing. You can't change you. So if you're all depressed and say, I can't do it, of course you can't. But God can. There is one thing that you and I need, and that is repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christian, we ought to be known of people of reconciliation. We ought to be known of people that love the unlovely. That people that are broken, people that are messed up, people that aren't right with God, they know that we'll love them. Oh, we're not going to go to the bars with them, I hope. Oh, we're not going to carouse with them and indulge in their sinful behavior. But I pray that sinners know this. We may not agree with their sin, but we will love you. We will be kind to you. You need a shirt? I'll take Stevens off his back and give it to you. That's what a church is for. And then when I'm right with God, I'll take my shirt off and it'll cover three people. But I want us to be a place, oh dads. You know, I'm just telling you, you know what my issue was? My issue wasn't with my son. It was pride. I'm so embarrassed about it. You don't know the bitterness in my heart, and I'm so embarrassed about it. I think my bitterness was so bad it almost disqualified me as a pastor, if it didn't. But you as a church, you endured it. I never want to do that again. But I'm terrified because I've done it once. I want you to know, dads, we're going to love your kids. We're going to love them even if they don't do what's right. There's a place for you to be made right with God, and that's at the foot of the cross where you humble yourself like that rebellious young man. You understand this? He said, I am no longer worthy to be called your son, but he came to serve. Do you see? There's the difference that happened. This young man turned from his old ways, turned from his worldly ways, and he turned to the Father, but he turned to him in complete faith and humility, and he said, I'm no longer worthy to be your son, I'll be your servant. I want to tell you this, when you are born again, when you are saved from your sins, you become a servant of God, and that's exactly what this rebellious son in this story did. Don't harden your heart. Final thing, when I talk about celebrate life, I want us to be a church that we rejoice when people are made right, that we celebrate the goodness of God that says, I was about to waste my life, but God, that's something to celebrate, isn't it? I want to ask you this, what are you celebrating week in and week out and day in and day out? What do your kids see? Is Jesus, what is your passion, your delight? Is that the most exciting aspect of your life? Is your relationship, your walk, your service with Christ? Because I'll tell you this, your kids will pick up on it. Man, I want to be like this dad. Grew up, and I'm imagining you grew up in a home where they worshiped God, and like many of our young people, you think, you don't understand, preacher. You boring dud. Yeah, when I'm 54, maybe I'll think like you. The son goes and rebels, and the dad loved his son. I beg you today, sin is going to destroy every one of us. That's why we're all going to die. You want to be a good father? This is a great passage for us. I hope that we don't have to deal with rebellion, but look, every man that's here, we have prodigal issues in our own hearts. Just never forget. God will forgive you. You see, everything about God is great. Everything about us is not. When we live life, will we represent God well? When we point our bony finger at people and make them feel like they are just a piece of dirt, that's not what God does. And I want to tell you this. The Bible tells us that you're less than nothing. I'm not here to tell you that you're all that. You just want to know the Bible truth? There's nobody that's worth anything in this room. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Oh, that we would love people the way this Father did. Oh, that we would look. Dads never give up. Some of you, you think it's impossible, and it is without God. As long as there's breath within you, you look for your children. You look for your neighbors. You look for your loved ones. You look for your co-workers to be made right with God. And then, I will tell you, the angels in heaven rejoice from this chapter, Luke 15, over one sinner that repents. You know why they rejoice? They love, and they look, and they're going to celebrate when somebody's saved. I'll tell you, children are one of the greatest blessings in life, and it can be one of the hardest things in life. Don't get bitter. Stay tender. Stay compassionate. Love your children. Love them. Love them. I'm so glad that God didn't stop loving me. It's one of the great things about getting older is God's love is more amazing than I thought. Oh, how to father a prodigal. Love, look, and live life with God. Let's pray.